All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Zanesville, Ohio, because I am here in Zanesville at the Civic League Center for the big OCW show here on the 22nd of February. Joining me, my partner in crime, if you will, Adam Michaels. Adam, how are you tonight?
Oh, wonderful, John. Thanks for having me on again here in the metropolis of Zanesville.
The metropolis of Zanesville. We're back after a very long hiatus down here in Zanesville. And, you know, I guess I'm going to talk real quick because I know that some of the folks that might be listening are probably wondering why, quite frankly, there's not some fans here joining us. But, you know, this is a great building. This is a great venue. But one of the problems is there's not as many different rooms, if you will, as there was like at the Hopewell School, where we could have a podcast while things are being set up and whatnot. Here at the Civic League Center in Zanesville, it's basically a small front office where we're at, and the fans are right outside. And then there's just a giant gymnasium, and then a couple side rooms, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's what's so nice about it is the giant gymnasium. I mean, it gives you a lot of space, especially for the OCW superstars to move around. They can interact more with the fans. They're not confined to a very small space, as we see at the Hopewell School. Granted, that's a great venue, but we do have limited space around the ring.
Right, right. So what we've decided to do is we've decided to come on here, talk a little bit about some of the wrestling news and headlines of the week. We might take a quick break and have some of the OCW stars come on, ladies and gents. I know for a fact that the OCW Tag Team Champions, Jeremy Madrox and Caden Assad, they want to come on and talk a little bit about their ongoing feud with Juice Jennings and Joey Vengeance. So that will be coming up shortly. But Adam, let's go ahead and dive on in to some wrestling news from earlier on this week.
Kersplash.
Yeah, I just nice. Good. That's a great sound effect.
Thank you. You
As a side note, there's lots of fans outside the doors here. They're a mere few feet away. So we're in the front office part where
they're ready to dive in to the action.
Oh, yes. Action. Nice.
Action.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right. I think the biggest headline of the week is, of course, Nelson Frazier Jr. passing away. Those who don't know who Nelson Frazier Jr. is, you may know him better as Mabel, Big Daddy V, or Viscera in the WWE. So he was one half of the WWE Tag Team Champions. He was a WWE Hardcore Champ and a 1995 King of the Ring. He passed away earlier this week, I believe on Tuesday, if I remember correctly. He was only 43 years old, which, that to me is the most surprising part of it. Is 43 years old is young.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, John. Are you really surprised by any of these guys that unfortunately meet their maker before it's really their time?
I guess for what you're going with is, let's be honest, too. Viscero's a large guy. You know, he was
right.
Like 6'7". He was close to 400 pounds. That's probably not very healthy.
No, no.
You know, so not surprised, but it's still just, I don't know, it still kind of sucks.
What I find interesting is, why did he not go by his real name of Nelson Frazier Jr.? That's a great name.
Really?
I don't know. It sounds to me like almost like an Ultimate Fighting or boxing name. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, you know.
Going with Mabel.
Mabel.
I don't know how that's better, but
well, I'm sure there's probably a story behind that.
Oh, I'm sure
that maybe that they came up with that name. They being the WWE Brain Trust at the time.
Yeah, or Vince chewed off of some piece of racial history that
that nobody knows about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But nonetheless, Mabel or Big Daddy V or Viscera, whichever incarnation you remember him as, passed away at the age of 43.
You know, and he was in that time of the World Wrestling Federation that, you know, let's be honest, was not the biggest draw.
No.
That kind of 94 to 96 range where, you know, they were just worried about gimmicks, and, you know, King Mabel was probably one of the better gimmicks that they had.
Because Big Daddy V was awful.
No, it was.
And Viscera was okay, because he was part of the corporate ministry, and the corporate ministry had The Undertaker and Midian and Kane? Yes, Kane
was part
of it.
I believe so.
You know, and so they had an odd collection, if you will, of individuals in that particular stable, so to speak. So I think it worked. But, yeah, I mean, clearly King Mabel was probably the best
Yeah, incarnation. And like you said, in that time frame, wrestling was not nearly at the peak that it was at the late 90s when he was Viscera and Big Daddy V. And, you know, I think being a main eventer, you know, in that time frame had to be a lot of pressure for some of those guys. I mean, the houses were down. I'm sure Vince was in the back, you know, trying to figure out what to do next. You had dentists, hog farmers, plumbers. I mean,
plumbers, TL Hopper,
yes,
nice.
So I think
race car drivers. Don't forget Sparky Plug.
And you could go on and on.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah,
I think for the time, he was certainly a welcome change.
Sure, and Men on a Mission were over. I think the fans, especially the little kids, really dug Men on a Mission. You know,
right? And they never really got the chance. I don't think. I mean, they never held the tag team titles, at least as baby faces. I don't remember who, you know, Frazier held the tag team titles with, to be honest.
Well,
with
he won them with Mo, but I think you're right. I think they were heels because I think they had gotten rid of Oscar.
Yeah.
And they were just the duo rather than the three-person group.
Because I remember they built them up really big around WrestleMania 10. And, you know, everybody was thinking they were going to be taking the titles from the Quebecers at the time, who were the main tag team. And it wound up to be like a DQ finish where they won by DQ and no titles changed hands. So it was kind of a anticlimactic finish for this build-up that they had.
Right. Sure. Sure. All right. Well, another piece of wrestling news from the WWE is that Rey Mysterio, his contract is up in a few months. And apparently they have not negotiated anything or even started to negotiate any type of a new deal for Rey Mysterio, who is one of the top merchandise sellers in the company, but, however, also has one of the biggest downside contracts in the company. What's your take on signing Rey Mysterio? I mean, if you were in the position, would you sign him, or would you say no? Really?
No, I wouldn't. I don't know if you have any of the details of his contract, or even how old he is. I don't know if he's in his late 30s or 40s. Yeah.
I can tell you exactly how old he is because he's, I think, a month older than I am, so he's 38.
38, okay. Yes. So
he's 38 years old.
He's obviously past his prime in terms of professional wrestling. He's very injury prone.
Sure.
I have to think that in his contract he's got some guaranteed money, so even if he's on the shelf, he's making money.
Right.
I don't see the investment merchandise sales, okay, but I don't think they're struggling without him.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good point. He's not, if he's not wrestling, you know, are they still selling out the houses and whatnot, right?
And really, what are they doing with him right now? He's doing curtain jerk matches with guys like Sin Cara and Kofi Kingston that are really just warm-up matches for main event matches later in the evening.
Sure, right, right. He has a successful tag team with The Big Show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's probably been a good 3, maybe 5 years since he's really been at the top of his game.
Right, sure, sure.
So he's been on a downward decline ever since. And I'm not talking about wrestling ability. I'm just talking about overall health. But Father Time sucks, man. No doubt about it.
Sure. Well, here's somebody else that the WWE has some concerns about. As you know, tomorrow is the big Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which is up in St. Paul, Minnesota, I believe. Or Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I think it's Minneapolis, my bad. Sure. I mean, they're the Twin Cities. What
right.
the hell? Anyways, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, there have been some reports that the WWE is fearful that Curtis Axel will get cheered at the pay-per-view because the Hennings are, quote, so over in Minnesota.
I think that's a ridiculous thought.
Really?
Yes.
I
you disagree?
No, I just I didn't realize that you were going to be so people can't see
heard.
At home, but your look of on your face of sheer and utter disgust is priceless.
Cuz that's what they're worried about? They're not worried about the fact that
no one's buying
fans,
the pay-per-view, right?
Right,
yeah.
Millions of fans are trashing you on the I mean, I know they don't follow the internet, you know, it's IWC, but I mean the backlash from Royal Rumble 14 has been horrendous. They had this one shot at Elimination Chamber to really draw up interest for WrestleMania. They're banking on WWE Network to draw all of the people to WrestleMania. And you're worried about a below mid-card guy that has really no
momentum whatsoever.
And you're worried about whether or not he's going to get cheered.
Right. That
seriously?
To me, that seemed quite preposterous.
I mean, unless
too.
There's some internet campaign out there, like cheeraxel.com, that I don't know about. You know? That's just preposterous to me. Of all the things you could worry about.
Be honest. You own that website, don't you? Cheeraxle.com. You're Everybody trying to get a plug-in. Anyways.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, I thought it was an absolutely silly story, too, because my point is, who cares? You know, you cannot. I mean, look at it. For years, for the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, there have been a lot of boos for Cena. And that still has not goaded the brain trust of the WWE to do anything with that. So I think that it is stupid that they're overly concerned about this. And again, you know what? On the other hand, though, good for Curtis Axel. At least he's getting some buzz, whether it might just be internet drivel, you know what I mean? At least he's getting his, you know, a little bit of due, because I like Curtis Axel. I think he's underutilized.
Well, sure, but I think he's underutilized. I just don't think he, whether or not it's him or the fact that he has some kind of handcuffs on him, the charisma, I just don't think is there. I don't know what he needs. I mean, he had Paul Heyman, which I thought was great. And then they take him away from Paul Heyman.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, there was something with Heyman and the brain trust in there. I don't think it really had anything to do with Axel. But even now, the WWE's main audience is probably males 12 to 18.
Okay.
How many of those guys even know, A, who Larry the Axe Henning is?
God.
Nobody. And probably a small percentage of them even know who Mr. Perfect was.
Right. I agree with you.
I just think that if that's really what one thing that they're worried about, wow. They obviously have their priorities out of whack.
Well, how about this priority here? It appears that maybe the Divas title match for WrestleMania 30 might get scrapped. Might get scrapped, as it was clearly evident on Raw and also reported on the internet. Naomi was supposed to be the heir apparent, so to speak, to the Divas title, winning it from AJ Lee, but she got injured in that match, broke an orbital rim, or injured her orbital rim, I don't know if it's broken or whatnot, and is now resting 4 to 6 weeks. She's going to be out. But there is some concern that even if she does get cleared by the medical doctors, which is possible that she might be able to be cleared before April 6th, that she can't fly because of the pressure.
Right.
You know, in your eye and whatnot, and she may possibly have to drive to WrestleMania 30 if they indeed decide to do this match. On this, I hate to sound like a sexist pig, but who cares? The Diva match is always a throwaway match anyways on Mania, so again, why worry yourself about this?
That's what I'm thinking in my head is, oh no, we're throwing away 6 months of build-up. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
It was like 2 weeks.
No, exactly.
And you could throw anybody in there. Why not throw, the one with the most momentum or the most crowd reaction right now, I think it's Natalia. Why not just throw her in there? I mean, you know she's going to have a good match.
Or Emma. I mean, they've been pushing that girl who apparently, I've never seen any of her work, but when she was in Shimmer wrestling as Tennille, and I believe she has some connection to Lance Storm. I believe he trained her or partially trained her or whatnot. Supposedly the girl can go. Like, balls to the wall, all out. Phenomenal match, night in, night out.
And who's going to have a match with her?
Exactly.
Maybe Natalya?
Maybe.
But still, the Divas division is what it is based on the fact that the WWE doesn't care.
Right, true.
I mean, you have...
And at one point, it was the strongest division when it was the women's when it was the women's title,
right?
And you had Trish Stratus and Lita, Molly Holly, and Ivory, and real solid workers in that division.
Yeah, and right now it's a throwaway. They put no momentum behind it. They have, and they're doing the whole like total divas versus the rest of the entire roster every week.
Yeah, right.
So why all the other girls are supposed to hate the total divas because they're on TV? And so why does that make the Total Divas the faces?
I don't know. But don't worry, they're chronicling Naomi's eye injury for
ooh, good.
Total Divas. So
good.
If you want to get all the inside scoop, that probably is heavily edited and produced. Cough, cough, reality, air quotes.
Yeah, right.
You could tune in.
But again, you know, going back to the match itself, I think you have plenty of choices to have a 5 out of 10 match on a secondary pay-per-view if you really, really want to.
Okay. All right, enough said. All right, last, there's actually a couple other things. So, it also came out this week that at this particular time, all right, there has been rumors that the leading candidate to be the main event inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame for next year, 2015, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Supposedly, the decision is his to be made. He can make it. He can accept it or decline it based on what his Hollywood schedule will allow him to appear at the Hall of Fame or not. So, your take on The Rock being put into the HOF?
Well, you know, you and I were talking about it before we went live in Zanesville. I don't have a problem with it, merely because the WWE Hall of Fame is a front to sell tickets. They don't really... And I know people are going to say, well, what about the people that are in there? Yes, sir, some of the people that are in there deserve to be in a Wrestling Hall of Fame, but not all of them, right? It's more of a front to sell tickets, and hence the main event person
sure
is the one that's going to sell the tickets.
Okay.
And that's why you have Jake... I mean, not saying that Jake Roberts doesn't belong in there. I'm just using this as an example. You have Jake Roberts and the Ultimate Warrior. You're telling me there isn't two other guys that are better than those two that could be in there?
Well, true. Very true.
I mean, I agree Jake Roberts deserves to be in there. Ultimate Warrior, I guess, deserves... Again, it's awesome.
I'll be very honest, okay? I think that before we started recording this podcast, I bitched about that The Rock hasn't been away long enough, but then you pointed out neither had Edge, neither had Shawn Michaels, so that's really not a thing. But I do take umbrage, and I do take somewhat of a negative attitude when it comes to the Ultimate Warrior. Okay, because here's a guy who, for the last several years, has done nothing but bash the WWE and talk about how it's so immoral, and it's so corrupt, and it's so this and so that. But yet, last fall, when they dropped, you know, WWE, 2K14 or whatever, he's in a goddamn commercial for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're so hardcore in your beliefs, but yet, they write a check big enough, you'll fork it over and go, ah, fuck it, who cares?
And how many people bought the game because the Ultimate Warrior was
well,
a playable character?
Yeah.
And can you put yourself in the shoes of, like, somebody listening and a fly on the wall to that conversation between Paul Levesque and Jim Helwig, where it was, Jim, what are you doing these days? Hey, how's everything going?
Yeah.
Got a proposition for you.
Yeah.
I know you've been bashing the shit out of us for the last 6 or 7 years, but we need the ratings, and we need to sell video games, so name your price.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. They did a whole DVD, the self-destruction.
Yeah,
Warrior.
And they threw him under the bus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And all he did was, throw him under the bus and yada, 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 what a horrible person he was to work with. He held Vince up for money on several occasions.
Right, right, yeah. But
granted, who didn't these days?
During that time, he did. Yeah, right.
But still, yeah. We're digressing. Going back to the Hall of Fame itself. I guess in your opinion, and you can't... The obvious choice is Macho Man Randy Savage. So take him out of the equation. Who do you put in there besides Dwayne Johnson to sell tickets?
Owen Hart.
They're not going to do that.
Well, I know they're not going to do that, but I mean, I think Owen Hart is one that should go in and is deserving to go in. And I think would sell tickets, to be honest with you.
But does Owen Hart... Comparing the careers of both, does Owen Hart deserve to go in over Dwayne Johnson? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so, because I think if you're looking at the money that The Rock, that Dwayne Johnson drew, he drew truckloads more than Owen Hart, you're right. But, I guess you got a point there. Clearly, Savage is the one that should go in. I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that front. Yeah, by all means.
Savage and Hogan carried the 80s, and you're putting in... Again, this is going to sound bad. I don't mean it to, but you're putting guys in like Tito Santana, I believe.
Right, yeah, he's in.
Way on the bottom of the secondary rung. I mean, I think his body...
Solid mid-card.
Right.
Solid mid-card guy, right.
You know, when are we going to get Rick Martel in there?
Right. When are we? I'm still waiting for Bruiser Brody. I'm still waiting on that one, to be honest with you.
You're talking about the headliners, the one that's going to sell tickets to whatever, stupid theater they're going to have it in
the night
before.
Sure. Right.
Mm-hmm. honestly, you could probably put in just about anybody, and people are going to buy tickets.
No, I'm actually drawing a blank. Where is WrestleMania 2015? They've said it.
I believe it's at it's 31.
31
so
is
I
where?
I believe it's at the new Levi Field for San Francisco Giants baseball.
I think that's really?
Where it's going to be.
Okay,
yes.
I couldn't remember. Why was I thinking Vancouver?
I don't know.
Because I have Canada on the brain, I guess.
There you go.
Anyways. Okay, now this is very interesting. And you know what?
Wait,
maybe
before we go on, I don't mean to interrupt
sure.
you. Well, one thing that came up in my head about the Hall of Fame, what is your take on Lita going in this year?
My take on that one, I'm cool with that one. I mean, I think that you put in Trish Stratus last year?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. So I think that when you're looking at female wrestlers, I think that, you know, I have no problem with Lita going in. I think you've already put in Trish Stratus. Moolah's already in there.
I believe Mae Young's already in there.
I think Mae Young is already in there. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think she is. I think that that's the next logical choice.
Okay,
you know, that's fair.
I guess. I don't know. I was never a huge Lita.
No, I wasn't either, but I can see where the appeal is.
Again, we're talking about selling tickets.
Right, right. Okay, now I have one more WWE note, but I'm going to pass over that for a minute because I'm going to talk about something that's going on today, actually, as well. It's Ring of Honor's 12th anniversary show in Philadelphia, which is highlighted by Ring of Honor World Champion Adam Cole defending against a former WWE guy in NXT, Chris Hero. And some other highlight matches, Jay Lethal versus AJ Styles, and Matt Hardy taking on Michael Elgin.
Let's hope Styles doesn't break his neck.
Yeah, because I got to be honest with you, I watched Ring of Honor TV 3 or 4 weeks ago when AJ Styles took on Roderick Strong, and I think he fucked him up with that Styles clash.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. Yeah. I was like, ugh.
That was bad.
That was pretty bad. So, I guess on this behalf, I mean, Lethal and AJ Styles.
It's going to be great.
I think it's going to be a great match. I was going to say, I think that is going to be the match that steals the show on this particular card.
I just hope they don't, you know, the cliche, wrestle above the fans' heads.
Sure, right.
I get that feeling that they could.
Sure.
Just with so many, you know, false finishes and... I don't know, but I'm a huge AJ Styles fan. I always have been, and Lethal certainly has held his weight.
I just find it weird that it's the two guys that TNA have kind of, what's the word I want to use? Like,
let go. I mean,
well, let go, but didn't use properly. Because yeah. I mean, let's be honest, Jay Lethal, very talented guy, came into his own in TNA, and then he had to be the poor man's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Right.
And then Styles, very great career in TNA. You can't say a bad thing about it. Ended up, though, he's in this contract negotiation. They let him go to Ring of Honor. Well, I don't know if they've let him. I mean, he's gone. I guess if you're not under contract. Let me try that again. Didn't let him go. He just went to Ring of Honor. I think it's a smart idea to have AJ Styles in Ring of Honor.
I think so, too.
I think it's name recognition. If they just don't mess this up.
Yeah,
and
they,
I mean, the brain trust of Ring of Honor.
Right.
I'm very skeptical about some of the things that they do with that company. But speaking of skeptical things, this week, Joey Ryan of TNA fan and of PWG fame, I misspoke again,
but it
wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't. Let's try that again. Joey Ryan of TNA fame and PWG fame was part of a WWE tryout camp at their Performance Center a few months after his TNA release. I believe that was sometime last year. He was not offered a contract and later said that it was because WWE thought he was too old and experienced to be in developmental. All right, but Ryan apparently has tweeted some comments making references to NXT trainer Bill DeMott and Johnny Laurinaitis, a.k.a. Johnny Ace. So these are very interesting, and you and I talked about this, and so I'm going to throw them out there. This is what Joey Ryan has tweeted. One tweet stated, quote, "At WWE camp, Bill DeMott said nobody on indies is as good as NXT guys. I'd love to debate Bill DeMott on what he thinks good wrestling is," end quote. Do you think that's a little ballsy, a little brazen to say that the indie guys are not as good as the NXT guys?
Well, let's be honest. I've said that too many times. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Everybody in the WWE thinks they're better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's outrageous that he said that.
Okay.
I'd be interested to see if he honestly believes that.
Okay. Well, here's another tweet.
His own hype.
Another tweet from Joey Ryan. Quote, another thing Bill DeMott said at the WWE camp is that WWE retrained Daniel Bryan or he wouldn't be as good as he is today, end quote.
Now, you're going to look at me funny. I'm going to defend that a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if they've necessarily, quote, retrained him in terms of wrestling ability, but I think they may have trained him a little bit more in terms of fan interaction and
character development.
Because I'll never forget the first time I saw him. I couldn't stand him.
No, I couldn't either.
Because he had no interaction.
Right. He was very, very vanilla in that. It wasn't until... I'll be honest, because you and I were there in Chicago. We went to the Ring of Honor event in Chicago when we were there for WrestleMania 22, right? Yeah, 22. And it seemed like he had some personality there. He had a couple of mic spots because he took on Lance Storm in what was an absolutely amazing match, best match of that whole entire year.
Yes,
agreed. 2005. But I agree with you. I think that they may have tuned him up a little bit on the character aspect, not the wrestling ability, but maybe the character aspect.
Yeah, and the fact that DeMont said that doesn't surprise me.
I'm sure
because he's a jerk. And
well, here's another Bryan Daniel insult, if you will. In another tweet, Ryan stated, quote, trying to get WWE job in 2010, John Laurinaitis told me, I have enough 5'9 guys. I can't make money with Daniel Bryan. How can I with you, end quote.
So it goes back to the whole it's a big man's
I guess so.
Sport.
Here's a few others. Another tweet stated, quote, Candice Michelle went to PWG in 2008. And raved about me to John Laurinaitis. When I saw him, he said, what does a diva know about wrestling? End quote. Really, I can't fault that one at all. Because, I mean, I would... Candice Michelle's opinion on wrestling...
Yeah.
...is like my... like me trying to do algebra. Like, it's really just ridiculous.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Here's another one real quick. The final tweet that Ryan sent out, it said, quote, don't wrestle the way John Cena does. Wrestle the way that I teach you.
And what does that even mean?
I don't even know. But apparently Joey Ryan took a screenshot of his email reply to the Senior Director of Talent Development. All right. Ryan wrote, and this was apparently saw on Twitter. This is what his computer screen said. Quote, I respect your opinion, but I could not disagree more with it. My talents and abilities allow me to travel the world and make a full-time living in professional wrestling, which is not something that most WWE superstars could do on their own. You have coaches in place that have never drawn a dime in their careers, trying to determine who and who cannot draw money, which is the true flaw in your system. I have had far more successful names in wrestling, some within the WWE itself, rave about my creativeness, character acting, and ability to engage an audience, and your evaluators missed it. Perhaps it's time for you to reevaluate your evaluators. Good luck in finding your next big superstar.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of it is how much ass do you kiss when you get there.
Sure, I'm sure that's how it is.
And I would think a guy like him who has plenty of background isn't going to go in there kissing anybody's ass.
Sure, no. No, I mean, and you know, whether you... Okay, I'll be honest, I think that... I like Joey Ryan, but I think he is very character-driven. Not the technically the best wrestler, okay, on the planet, but he's got a great character, and he does interact with fans, and man, oh man, does he get it over. And I appreciate that aspect of it more so than, you know... what was that?
I don't know.
Something's going on out there. I don't know. Something's going on in the area here outside. I don't know. Well, the fans are stretched a mile long out there, if you will. I don't know what's going on. Sorry about that, fans. So some noise or something happened. Anyways, but so with that, let's talk a little bit about today's show here, tonight's show, of what you're going to see when if you're coming on out here, or if you know, in the case when this airs, you've been out, if you will. So let's run down the matches real quick before we take a break and then have the Heat Seekers come on and talk. The big main event, it's the return match. The OCW heavyweight title. Big guns Jeff Cannon defends against Takahashi. What are your thoughts, Adam, on that match?
I don't know. I was real excited for this at our last show. And of course, it had to be ruined.
Right, by Robbie Starr and Jimmy Shane's interference. So hopefully, those guys will not interfere, and will the fans will be treated to what should be a really good match between these two.
Right, and I sincerely hope that OCW officials have taken the necessary precautions to keep these guys away.
Sure.
To keep anybody away. I mean, the last thing you want as a fan is to get all hyped up for a match and then see it completely ruined.
Exactly, exactly. Another big title match that we have on tap is we have the OCW Ohio Heritage Champion, Dark Star Matt Taylor, somebody that you said on a previous podcast that you really admire his in-ring ability, takes on Genuine Jock Sampson, the man that won the four-way matchup in Coshocton to earn a title shot. I got to say that this is clearly on paper a contrast of styles. I mean, you got a man that's a hard hitter, usually a brawler, somebody that loves to break the rules in Jock Sampson, versus a guy who can fly around the ring with the best of them, who can, you know, get down on the mat and grapple with you, Matt Taylor. So how do you see this match going?
Well, you said it. I am a big fan of Matt Taylor's, and due to the history I have in OCW, I'm a big fan of Jock Sampson's as well. So I'm conflicted in the sense that, you know, I unfortunately have to pull on the side of Matt Taylor. I just think that his wrestling acumen, I think, is really going to be what carries him in this match. I mean, Jock Sampson has gotten to where he is now based on his attitude and his underhanded tactics.
Sure, right, yeah,
and
sure,
I think,
right.
Granted, Matt Taylor can certainly have his share of that in a match, but I don't know.
And I'm going to throw something out there, too, because we've seen it. You know, we were in the locker room with him in Coshocton. There's something going on with Jock. Let's be honest. He's off his game. Let's just be honest. He's a little bit off his game here. I don't know quite what it is. He's been somewhat cordial to me, which does not happen. Has never happened. So there's something going on with Jock Sampson. I don't know, maybe personally, professionally, or whatever, that might come into the play tonight, too, you know, when Matt Taylor steps between the ropes with Jock.
Maybe it was ever on, like, the end of that bull rope, usually, like, kicked him in the head or something.
Well, maybe. I don't know what kind of animals are around Casa de la Samson.
I don't know either.
Anyways. All right, well, with that, you know, it's going to be a great show. You know, we're going to have the Heat Seekers come on right after we take a quick break at them, and we'll talk with those guys, and we'll talk a little bit more about OCW. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be back right after this break, ladies and gentlemen. Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet. And it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North. And you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PBD Cast, where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You could check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus, or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out. All right, folks, we're back on the PVD Cast with John Orlando, Adam Michaels, and the OCW Tag Team Champions, multi-time Tag Team Champions in OCW, the Heat Seekers, Caden Assad, Jeremy Madrox. Gentlemen, welcome.
How's it going, John?
It's going well.
Hello.
I don't know.
First champions?
Huh?
First champions on your podcast,
yes,
correct?
First champions on the podcast, I believe. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm a champion wing eater, chicken wing eater, so I've been on a couple times.
That counts.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're right. Aren't you a softball champion, too?
Yeah.
I think this is my fourth time on the podcast.
I know.
I've never even heard a podcast before.
He's not lying, either. He just said that when I told him we had to record a podcast. He said, I don't know, I've heard one.
I tried to listen to one. Jeremy Was it the first one you did?
I think so.
And my computer wasn't compatible with your particular feed.
Were you running it off your Commodore 64? It just wasn't
kosher. I don't know how to take that either. But here we are.
Here we are. All right, so you guys have another set of matches tonight. All those singles matches against Joey Vengeance and Juice Jennings.
Okay, I'll stop you when you're wrong.
Okay. What? You guys have gone round and round. So I guess
did you say that because they've come out to that before?
That was round a little pun. Round. That was a little pun.
I picked it up.
Yeah, good. Good stuff.
Oh, you have to be witty on these things, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Because they can't see the physical humor.
It has to be entertaining enough. Because
I'm a very handy talker. I use my hands. Yeah. You know, I tell stories with my body.
That's about all I have.
So this is going to be your first podcast and last?
Probably.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would say that's a good bet.
Which makes it worth more.
That's true.
True.
That's why you need to listen.
Less quantity.
Right, right. Less anyways, more. Less is more.
Yeah, tonight I'm wrestling Joey Vengeance.
All right. For the umpteenth time.
Yeah, I don't
you guys
have
gone round and round.
Yeah, and Caden will be facing off against Juice Jennings.
All right.
See, he's wrestling Joey for the umpteenth time, which makes it worth more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
gotcha.
You never know which one's going to be the best. The
right.
last one. The last one could be the best.
Exactly.
More quantity.
Ponderous.
Right.
More ponderous.
More is
yes.
more.
More is more. All right. Are you guys looking forward? In all seriousness, are you guys looking forward to wrestling these guys? Because I mean, you have wrestled them so many times, like. Do you find it as enjoyable? Do you not
boring.
Find boring?
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes?
No, I like wrestling Joey a lot. I think as much as he gets on my nerves, he brings something out of me that a lot of guys don't. It's just a natural chemistry thing. And I also am looking forward to watching Caden destroy Juice Jennings because the few times I've seen them go one-on-one, it's been very entertaining.
Bye. Agree. Yup.
Yup. Yup. Yup.
So if you've wrestled them umpteen times, as you go on, let's say, you know, the third time, the fifth time, do you pick up things that you didn't really notice the first time around that you can kind of use to your advantage?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say anything good about either one of those guys, but some guys, you know, you can wrestle them 40 times and they're going to do the same thing all 40 times. Mm-hmm. But Juice and Joey are both guys that the more you wrestle them, the more they're going to change it up. So you have to be on your feet. And just because he did something in the third, fifth, and seventh matches doesn't mean he's going to do it in match number 10. So it's good to be ready for it because sometimes when someone gets tired, they get desperate and they go to what they know. But it doesn't always work out that way.
So what's your strategy tonight?
Win.
That simple.
Yeah. I mean,
simple to the point. Okay.
Just all like right. Adrian told Rocky.
Win.
Yeah.
Just win.
Just win.
You know, everybody loves Juice and Joey, but think about this. I've held the OCW tag team titles 3 times now. Once with Jeff Cannon. Twice now with this man, Caden Asad. We beat the High Def Supernovas for the titles, which is one of the most beloved teams in OCW history, and then we held those titles for 11 months. Mm. I believe we defended them more than any other team ever has. They held the title for 22 months and did not defend them half as many times as we did in those 11 months.
Now, would you say that the High Def Supernovas are on the levels of, let's say, like a Dark Testament or the Rootin' Tootin' Buckaroos, or were, you know...
They're close.
Okay, because I'm trying to
you're trying to prioritize. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
That kind of reminds me. I do have a request. I guess it doesn't work tonight, but when me and Jeremy Madrox are tagging together, we're so cohesive.
Well, correct.
I'd say our next tag match, which you can't do tonight, John, don't mess up, but I don't want you to introduce us as Jeremy Madrox and Caden Asad as the Heatseekers. We're one entity now.
Yeah.
I would like for you to announce us, not even plural, Heatseekers. I want you to announce us introducing your tag team champion, 417 pounds, Heatseeker.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next time we talk.
No Madrox, no Asad.
That's how cohesive we are.
That's how cohesive.
Yeah, we don't need separate.
But that's the next time.
We don't need
that's
separate.
That's the next time. Okay.
That's the only thing I got to get my head straight tonight because I've been so used in this tag feud always having him have my back, and I had to train particularly harder this time to be ready to be one-on-one.
Well, you've also had a third member, so to speak, an unofficial member.
Always official.
Always
you
official.
See, the Heat
Seekers. He wasn't the Jimmy Garvin of the Freebirds.
The Heat Seekers are Caden Assad and Jeremy Madrox. Heat Seekers Incorporated is the Heat Seekers and Bombastic Bruce Gray.
Okay, all right.
The adding the Incorporated is kind of like how Vanilla Ice added the dun 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 tss, tss, right. to his version. That's what separated it from Queen's song.
Right, I remember the explanation.
The Incorporated, yes. That's Bombastic Bruce Gray.
Okay.
And maybe more, who knows?
More.
And when were you guys incorporated? I had no idea.
Do you have papers?
We filed paperwork about a year ago.
Okay.
We,
okay.
But it was under the radar.
Is it an LLC or is it just...
It's incorporated.
Right.
Mm. That's very advantageous for your taxes.
I was going to say, no taxes for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's not let Uncle Sam
So after the Heat Seeker, we need a C with a circle?
Yes.
Is that right?
That's copyright. That's,
I mean,
I don't handle the legal matters. Obviously, Jeremy does.
That's fine.
Well, you know, a guy like Caden walks into an office and people get a little sketched
and
out.
By office, he means gym.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha.
That's where my office is.
Well, hey, you know, what can you say? All right, so, but anywho, so you won the titles. You had some help from Bruce Gray. Let's be honest.
I'm not ashamed to say it was some help.
Okay.
Some help that, you know, the referee was down, and a referee had to come out and make the count. So, yeah, that happened to be Bruce Gray, but that's not our fault. We couldn't have predicted that.
Apparently somebody's chicken's done.
Yeah. Apparently.
So I'll be right back. my rotisserie's finished.
Well, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, you know, there's nowhere to actually do this at here in Zanesville. You know, we have this front office foyer.
The fans are about 20 feet from us.
Yes.
Lined up.
I can smell correct. Them from here. I what? Mean, they're what? Right outside.
Huh?
What? I knew I liked you.
So, the pizza's here.
No, that's what the smell is.
That's what the smell is, I suppose. All right. So, what's next after you two dispatch Joey and Juice tonight, so you've said... What next for Heat Seekers?
Pardon me?
Heat Seekers.
Have you had some drinks?
No, not yet.
And he pronounced it wrong. He put a S.
Yeah.
Heat Seeker.
He just went over this.
I know. I'm sorry. It's foreign to me.
Well, you
was
know.
That a... Hold up.
No. Wait.
What's that supposed to mean, John?
That's
hold
just
on. I
got to
see if my baked potato's done yet. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Now we're good.
Well...
You too.
We. What do you mean, you too?
I was saying that guy said, "Have a good one." I was
all
like,
right.
"You too."
Back to your question.
Yes. What's
we honestly? You know, we talked about this, and we would like to see, you know, former OCW tag team champions, you know, great tag teams from around the area,
okay,
come in and challenge us for the OCW tag team titles because we want to defend the belts. We don't want. To be like Juice and Joey and just sit on them show after show and, you know, one member doesn't show up and the other does. You know, that's... Now, I'm going to drop a little bomb on you here. Pun intended.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Our contracts... We've got Freebird rule with the OCW Tag Team titles.
What?
Bombastic
really?
Bruce Gray can defend the OCW Tag Team titles if myself can't be there or if Caden Assad
hence
can't
the
be
incorporation.
There.
Boom! There you go.
Yeah.
It all comes together. It's full circle.
Mm.
If you can have a dream match against any other tag team, and it doesn't matter in the history of wrestling, who would it be?
Probably the Heat Seekers against the Heat Seekers from 4 years ago.
Okay. Who would
win? I think
it
would be a tough match.
Who would win?
I think those guys 4 years ago were hungry. And they had a lot to prove. But I think right now, Kate and I are in the best shape of our life, both mentally and physically.
Probably a lot more cartilage in a lot of the joints, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those guys can move a little faster.
Yeah.
It don't matter how they're going to feel the next day, though.
Yeah.
True.
So, yeah. I think the Heat Seekers modern day versus Heat Seekers 4 years ago would be an amazing match.
That would be a draw, too.
It's like an unlockable character in a video game, Heat Seekers of 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
If there was an OCW video game.
Well, yeah, maybe we can get that in production. Come on.
Well, I know we've been talking about that for a very long time, haven't we? Many of our great ideas that we talked about on the way in.
I don't have a very good voice.
Yeah, just like Montezuma's Revenge.
Or Zam Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
We talked about Zam Fahrenheit. You don't remember that one?
Which is Max Fahrenheit's...
Yeah, his midget counterpart. So,
All right, we're getting yelled at by the boss. We got to get out of here.
All right, well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on. Once again, it's the OCW Tag Team Champions, the Heat Seekers. You said I have one more night. I just got a dirty look.
You failed.
All right, Adam, I just got a dirty look.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Heat Seeker. All right. Anyways. All right, well, Adam, we're going to have a couple other guests come on here. But right now we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more OCW stars right here on the PVD Cast, live from Zanesville. Yeah, I'm breaking it off a little funky for you, ladies and gents. John Orlando, the host of the PVD Cast. I want to talk to you about Stitcher Radio. You've heard me say it 100 times. Stitcher is the best app for your podcast needs. You don't have it, then what are you waiting on? Go over to Stitcher.com, find out how to download it, or if you're pretty tech savvy, go on over to the App Store, download it, get it on your phone. It doesn't matter if it's an Android, doesn't matter if it's an iPhone, doesn't matter if you have a tablet. You can download it and take your podcast with you anytime. You can listen anywhere you want, whether you have a Wi-Fi signal or not, whether you have a cell connection or not. Stitcher is the all-encompassing place you need to be. All types of podcasts, whether it's news, entertainment, sports, politics, whatever topic it is, Stitcher has a podcast for you. And if you need some customized recommendations, Stitcher will do that for you too. Hey, what can I say? I mean, it's just the bomb, which I don't think anybody says anymore. But nonetheless, Stitcher Radio. Go over to Stitcher.com, download the app, get it so you can listen to the PVD Cast and all the other thousands of podcasts that are available to you. Do it today. All right, folks, we're back here on the PVD Cast live in Zanesville. Adam Michaels, along with John Orlando, joining us, the OCW Heavyweight Champion, Big Guns Jeff Cannon. Jeff, how you doing tonight?
Good, guys. Hey, I finally made it on the PVD
Cast. I know! What the... I mean, you're a hard man to get a hold of.
Hey, you know, keep him busy.
I guess so.
When you're the champ, you're in demand.
Oh, well, enough said.
Absolutely.
Enough
Always
said.
Have to keep the guns loaded.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not only a champ here, I'm a champ at ASWA, so I'm a pretty busy man.
I will not say that you're the bye champ.
No, don't say that. Yeah. That would be wrong, John. You know
you're
that.
You're a double champ.
That's
you know
podcast.
Better.
Podcast.
Yeah. Well, tonight you have Takahashi, a man that you helped train. You know, you've taken him to various different promotions throughout Ohio. You know, you've got him some matches and other promotions. He's been a big star here in OCW thanks to your help. So, how do you feel about this match?
You know, the old saying goes, the teacher doesn't teach the student everything, right?
Or sure.
That right. goes somehow
right.
that way.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah, I did kind of take Takahashi under my wing. I've taken him to other promotions, you know, and he won the number one contenders match. In the Ascension match, and Robbie and Jimmy kind of ripped him off of his shot in Coshocton in January, so I thought it was only fitting that he get another shot, so I was quick to sign the contract, and, you know, I do have the strength, size, experience advantage, but Takahashi showed everybody in the Ascension match, don't count him out.
Sure, sure.
Now, what I was going to say is, how can you prevent anything like that from happening again here tonight?
Yeah, how is it that we're going to keep Robbie and Jimmy from sticking their nose where it doesn't belong? I mean, has there been anything put in place to make sure that that doesn't happen?
Well, the board hasn't really done much about it.
Well, no.
So, let's just say maybe I took some measures myself.
A few tricks up your sleeve?
Yeah, you could say. We'll see what happens tonight. If they stick their nose in our business, then there might be some repercussions for that.
Okay. All right. So what's your strategy tonight against Takahashi?
Beat the crap out of him.
Just full
keep
throttle.
My belt.
Just,
yeah.
just pounding ground?
You know, I'm just going to see how many clotheslines and suplexes and big bumps this young kid can take. You know, he's quick, he's fast, he's all that stuff. But
what do you have to watch out for from him?
If I hit him with the heavy artillery, it's over.
Well, that's true. That's true. What do you have to watch out for in his arsenal? What do you?
I
know you know him very well. You've watched him in the ring many, many times. So what do you think is one of his big strengths that you have to be cautious of?
He's unorthodox.
Okay.
And he can throw those.
I didn't know he was Greek Orthodox.
No, not religion-wise.
Adam, listen. He throws them kicks from anywhere. You don't know when they're going to come. And, you know, like I said, he's quick. He's And another thing, a guy that wears a mask, it's hard to read when you've got him hurt.
Sure, that's true.
You know
true.
What I mean?
That's true.
You can't see that pain in his eyes and on his face. And, you know, so you got to – I just got to put the hammer down and try to get through it and get it over with, you know.
And if you win tonight – again, I'll give the benefit of the doubt to Takahashi. If you win tonight, you go on to the 11th anniversary show on April 12th. You have a match against Robbie Starr, another individual that you know very, very well. So I guess if you get to that stage, and again, we'll give credit to Takahashi, if you get to that stage where you're going to take on Robbie Starr, what's your game plan for that? Have you even thought that way, or are you focused solely on Takahashi?
Well, I try not to look past any opponent.
Right, sure.
And I
right.
don't want to look past Takahashi because he could walk out of here tonight with the title.
True.
But obviously, Robbie, ever since he turned on Matt Mason,
sure.
has turned it up, you know, a level. The violence level, the...
Annoying factor.
Annoyance, the attitude, the just everything. So, yeah, whoever wins our main event match tonight with me and Takahashi has Robbie at the anniversary show. I'm hoping it's me. If I'm a betting man, I'm betting on myself. And Robbie, you know,
watch out. That's how Pete Rose got in trouble.
Well,
you don't yeah, don't bet on yourself.
This isn't baseball, John. You know, with Robbie, boy, you always got to keep your eyes out for Jimmy Shane, and you know, Adam being you know a ref, sometimes he knows you can't catch it all, and you can't grow eyes in the back of your head, so. I just got to try to focus tonight on Takahashi and then focus after tonight on Robbie. You know, there's, 8 weeks from tonight?
Sure.
Yep. Is the anniversary show. So yep. I got 8 weeks to get my mind set and get ready for Robbie Starr.
All right. And that big anniversary show, April 12th, is at the Oakwell School. And right. In fact, we've already signed one big match. You want to talk a little bit about that real quick?
Yeah, we can talk about that. You know, I don't know how many people are privy to midget wrestling, but... the Half Pint Brawlers was a huge series on Spike TV about a year and a half ago. And we got probably the two best midget wrestlers I've ever seen, entertainment-wise, athletic-wise, in Little Kato and Beautiful Bobby, coming in to have a midget world title match for the anniversary show. So I'm excited about that. I hope the fans will be excited about it.
I think the fans were. When I announced that in January at our last show, Inkashot, and a lot of people really went bonkers for that. So I think people are excited for that.
You know, I've seen them perform on several occasions, and man, they go all
it.
Out.
They bring
pedal
it.
To the metal, you know,
you
and they're very entertaining. So I think the fans will definitely be pleased with that match.
Cool. All right, well, Jeff, we'll let you get going so that you can go and get prepared for your big matchup. Good luck tonight against Takahashi.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you'll walk out the OCW champ.
I hope so.
All right.
It was good to be here, and hopefully we can do one of those sit-downs.
Yeah, we'll do one of those.
You know, in the future.
When and, you're not such a busy man.
Yeah,
when you're not we'll defending try. Titles all around the world.
I don't know about around the world, but, you
well,
know.
Well, the world of Ohio.
Yep.
We'll go that way.
Yep. I keep
right.
very busy, so.
All right, thanks, Jeff, for coming on.
Yep.
All right, Adam, well, we're going to start wrapping things up here, too, because the show's about to start in about 50 minutes or so.
We have to get good seats, John.
We don't need to get good seats.
Why not?
I have the best seat in the house.
Well, I want to make sure I get in for all these fans. I don't want them
That's
to
true.
My seat.
That's true. They are certainly lined up outside, but we will come back on here. We'll talk about a little recap. So for right now, the listeners at home, we're going to go to another quick break. After the break, stick around because we'll talk about all the events that happened right here in Zanesville at the Civic League Community Center. So stay with us. We'll be back shortly. John Orlando here to tell you about the Columbus Toy and Collectible Show. It's happening Sunday, April 6th at Vets Memorial, 300 West Broad Street in Columbus, Ohio. Showtime is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. General admission is just $5, folks. Just $5. And of course, kids under 12 are free. You want to check out some awesome toys from all different time periods? Then this is the place to be. It's the Columbus Toy and Collectible Show at Vets Memorial. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, John, you of all people know what's going on Sunday, April 6th. It's WrestleMania 30. Well, yeah, but that's not till nighttime. So get up in the morning, go on down to Vets Memorial to the Columbus Toy and Collectible Show. Hey, look for some wrestling action figures. I'm sure they'll have WWE ones. I'm sure they'll have TNA ones. Hell, they may even have those really obscure ECW action figures. You remember those? Anyways, go to Columbus Toy and Collectible Show. Check out ctspromotions.com for more information. Again, it's going to be an awesome time checking out some awesome toys.
All right, as promised, ladies and gentlemen, John Orlando back here on this edition of the PVD Cast. Prior to the break, I said that I would come on here and talk a little bit about the OCW show that has just ended a mere, I don't know, 20 minutes ago or whatnot. Unfortunately, Adam Michaels is not here with me. He's taking care of a few things. Fans, I just got to say, what an amazing night here in Zanesville, and I want to thank the fans of Zanesville for coming out. It's been 2 years since OCW has been in this building, and the fans came out in droves. They were loud. They were enthusiastic. They were one hell of a crowd. And that's what indie wrestling needs. They need great crowds. And so thank you, people of Zanesville. Go tell a friend. We want to come back here. We want to make Zanesville a regular rotation like it was a few years ago. But man, what a show. Our guest, Big Guns Jeff Cannon, he was successful. He retained the OCW Heavyweight Championship. He defeated Takahashi in what was a great match, a respectful match, but both men set aside their relationship of teacher and student and just went at it full throttle, because that's what it's about. When you're going for that World Heavyweight Championship, when you're going for that championship in OCW, man, you just got to go full throttle, nonstop. And while Takahashi really took it to Jeff Cannon, Jeff ended up winning the match. He hit the heavy artillery, and that was it. He walks out with the heavyweight title, and he goes on to the 11th anniversary show on April 12th to face Robbie Starr. Now, as for another championship match we had, the Ohio Heritage Champion, Dark Star Matt Taylor, he took on Genuine Jock Sampson in what was a very interesting matchup. You had Matt Taylor, who decided to go all high-flying, using those educated feet of his to kick and to do a variety of high-impact moves. And Jock Sampson just came full throttle at him as well, just the brawling style of Sampson. But it wasn't enough. Matt Taylor managed to get the victory through dubious manners, a low blow, if you will, where the ref wasn't looking. And Matt Taylor picks up the three count, and he is still the OCW Ohio Heritage Champion. Now, our other guests that were on, the Heat Seekers, they were in singles action. Joey Vengeance managed to defeat Jeremy Madrox. And in the match of the night, and I really mean that, just these two guys put it all out there. Juice Jennings was victorious over Caden Assad. It'll be interesting to see what OCW officials here think about the tag team champions and see if they will give a rematch to Joey and Juice because of these victories in singles competition. And then we saw the debut of a few new folks. We saw the Pinnacle, Levi Connors, make his OCW debut here. And let me just tell you right now, this gentleman, I think if he picks up a lot more experience, you know, he's a new guy, he picks up some experience, he's going to be a force to reckon with here in professional wrestling in the state of Ohio. But he picked up the victory over bombastic Bruce Gray. Very good, solid outing for him. And then we saw the debut of a gentleman that, quite frankly, I know very little about. I'm going to have to do some research. I'm going to have to really dig and try to find some information about this guy. But Jason Dragon and his friend Johnny Attitude found themselves a unique tag team partner in Papa Dingo. And this monster of a man, this absolute savage, came to the ring and laid waste to Louis Perez and Rock Show, Ernie Balls, in what was just an impressive outing from this mammoth individual. And I don't even know where Jason Dragon would find a guy like Papa Dingo. I don't know where Jason Dragon hangs out, but I want to avoid that place. Anyways, so ladies and gentlemen, a great show here in Zanesville. If you can, come on out April 12th. Not if you can, you gotta be there. Let's just be honest, you gotta be there. Ohio Championship Wrestling, 11th anniversary show, April 12th in Coshocton at the Hopewell School. Already one match has been signed. The Half Pint Brawlers, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be there. Little Kato is going to take on Beautiful Bobby for the Midget World Championship. I guess this match is guaranteed. It's set now. I think I misspoke. We got Big Guns Jeff Cannon defending the OCW Heavyweight title against Robbie Starr. So, two big matchups. I'm sure more are going to be signed over the next few weeks. Definitely, if you can make it out, be there. It's going to be a great show. You can find out where you can get tickets and everything else about the big anniversary show by going to www.ocwrestling.net. Follow Ohio Championship Wrestling on Twitter at OCW Online. And of course, check out the Facebook page for Ohio Championship Wrestling as well. Since I'm talking about Twitter and social media, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. Obviously, you can follow me on Twitter, at PVDMVP. If you want to shoot me an email, you could do so. Simply just go to johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Put that into your email. Shoot me off an email if you want. And of course, you can always check out pvdcast.com, the official online home of John Orlando. And folks, with that, it's very late. I want to get back to the capital city. I know Adam Michaels is putting stuff in the car and he's ready to go. So I'm going to sign off here, but not before I give you Orlando's faves. And it's going to be an odd one. It's more culinary in nature, if you will. You know, throughout the several years, I've seen commercials for Fiber One products. And, you know, let's be honest, it's a health food. How good could it be? Well, last Sunday in the Columbus Dispatch, they gave out free samples of Fiber One's new product. They're making cookies. And I got a chocolate chunk sample in the newspaper. I tried it. I gotta say, I'm a big fan. For a healthy snack, that's actually pretty darn good. And there's some fiber in it, but I won't go into those details. But nonetheless, I was real impressed. So my fave for this podcast, Fiber One cookies. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting out of here. My bed's calling. It's time to go back to Columbus and get some Z's. So with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.